and welcome to the Giving Voice to Depression podcast. I'm Terry, the creator and co-host of this podcast. I've lived with depression most of my life, and I know how easy it can be to feel all alone in the experience. I'm not alone, and you aren't either.
And I'm Dr. Anita Sands, a licensed clinical psychologist with a number of my own diagnoses, all of which bring a certain amount of anxiety and depression along with them. There is great power in shared experiences. We share our own as we engage in intimate and candid conversations with our weekly guests, exploring different perspectives on and experiences with depression.
We keep it real because depression is real. We keep it hopeful because there truly is hope in spite of what depression tells you. So we would like to acknowledge our new partnership with Recovery.com, which will allow us to continue producing our podcast and creating our daily mental health social media posts. Recovery.com provides resources and information for individuals seeking treatment for mental health or addiction issues. It offers a fact-checked and vetted online platform of treatment centers to help individuals find the right path to recovery. Hello, Anita.
Hi, Terry. The focus of this episode is postpartum depression, or PPD. But before you consider tuning out because you're not pregnant or planning to give birth, please remember that the more that we know about all kinds of depressions and other mental health conditions, the more that we can support each other. Plus, we can all learn something from everyone's story.
Today's episode is produced in partnership with Families for Depression Awareness and made possible by a sponsorship from Sage Therapeutics and Biogen. Our guest is Natasha. She is among the 1 in 8 women who experience something very different than the baby blues, which usually include mood swings, crying spells, anxiety, and difficulty sleeping after having a baby, and usually last for up to 2 weeks.
Postpartum depression, best thought of as a possible complication of birth, is more intense, lasts longer, and can interfere with a mother's ability to care for her baby and handle other daily tasks. Because PPD, like other forms of depression, is not talked about enough, the experience can be very confusing and even shameful for a new mother who isn't really sure what's going on, and that can prevent help from being sought or offered.
Although you will hear us discuss moms and motherhood in this podcast, we acknowledge that birthing people could be trans or non-binary. Here is Natasha giving her voice to depression. Natasha had pure intentions and high standards during her pregnancy.
Even before I gave birth, I would talk to my son when he was in the womb. I'd be by myself and I would be like, you know, I'm going to make it my mission to be the best mom ever. I'm going to make it my mission to make sure I protect you.
And she tried to learn all she could to help accomplish that mission.
When I was pregnant, I made sure to sign up. They had all these free parenting classes at Children's Hospital. So I would go and I'll get the books and I was taking notes.
So she thought she had things reasonably under control.
But then once the baby's here, it was like none of those notes or nothing I read in the book mattered, you know, at all. In which a lot of parents were like, you'll figure it out along the way, because there's no right or wrong way to really parent. You know, there's no guide. And I learned that once the baby was born.
Natasha also learned that despite all her preparations and intentions, her body and mind reacted in ways that were simply out of her control. And she hadn't been taught or seen modeled healthy ways to acknowledge, discuss, or share those experiences.
Well, with me, you know, I come from a family where there was no emotion. No emotions were allowed. You didn't go to therapy or counseling. You went to church and you prayed about it. So I had a sense of pride about myself already. And it would be about a few months after giving birth that I started to realize that I might be suffering from postpartum depression. But once again, I was prideful. I saw it as a sign of weakness, because how I felt was, well, I don't have anything to be sad about. I just gave birth to a beautiful, healthy boy. I have an amazing, supportive husband. Why are you sad? Why are you emotional? So that's what I would tell myself.
Add to that all the other things that changed in her life after their son's arrival, and it's easier to understand why she, like many new mothers, couldn't clearly name her feelings as symptoms of postpartum depression.
What happened? So before that, I worked 14 years in a county. So at this time, we decided that I would stop working. I'll do the stay-at-home mom thing and focus on that. So you had that life change as well. So while I'm at home, you know, my husband's gone off to work, I'm dealing with all these emotions, but I'm bottling up. So my husband was really good at checking in, whether he'll text, he'll come home, and I'll be like, oh no, I'm fine, everything's fine. But the whole time, this is all brewing on the inside. I'm having this internal fight, telling myself, no, you don't feel like that. Stop feeling like that.
One of the feelings Natasha had trouble stopping was frustration, which she says she ended up taking out on her husband.
And it would be about 4 months after I gave birth where it was just a huge blow up. Like, I just lost it. I don't even remember what I yelled at him about. That's the thing. I don't even know what it was. But I remember us being in the kitchen cooking dinner, and I just lost it so much to where I ended up walking out of the kitchen. I went and I shut myself in our bathroom and literally fell to the floor and like stayed down there, balled up. I didn't come out.
Natasha says she stayed in there crying until she heard her husband go to bed.
But then I came out and I actually wrote him a very long email about everything that I had been feeling and apologizing for my outburst. And I said, you know, I think that I'm dealing with postpartum depression and I don't know what to do about it. And so when he awoke the next morning and he read that, we had a talk and he suggested that, you know, first reach out to our doula. So I reached out to her, Vanessa, and I explained what I had been feeling, what had been going on. And then she suggested that, you know, go to therapy. And she had like a directory of amazing therapist counselors that she directed me to. And she was like, here are a few, reach out, see who you connect with.
When Natasha made an appointment, it was not only her first time, but the first time anyone in her family had ever gone to therapy. While anxious about the process, she immediately saw the value.
When I went in, I actually, like the first session, I actually felt like a sense of relief, because given the background of coming from a family where you didn't talk about your emotions, you didn't show your emotions. And by the way, I'm naturally a very emotional person. Very emotional. So I took a deep breath because it felt good to be able to talk to someone about everything that I had been feeling. And what ended up happening was it started off, addressing my postpartum depression, but then it opened the door to so much that I had repressed from childhood on, learning that I had always been dealing with depression. And being in therapy and learning what that looks like, what it feels like, I realized that I come from a family that's very prone to depression, and so many people in my family were showing signs of their own depression. But once again, nobody believes in going to get help. So in my family, people, it will turn into substance abuse. It will turn into being emotionally unbalanced. When it came to the men in the family, it will turn into violence against women. That's how people in my family dealt with it.
So when you talked about the battle and what you weren't sharing, what was that? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? How did you know something was wrong?
Just feelings of sadness, you know, and fear. Being a new first-time mom, there was a lot of, am I doing this right? I don't know what I'm doing. And a lot just stemming from the things I experienced in my childhood and not wanting to repeat those. It was like, okay, I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to do something wrong. I don't want to mess my child up. It was like dealing with all those thoughts. I know it sounds like wild in hindsight because having an infant and being a first-time mom, but I was like battling with all of those things.
Mayo Clinic and other sources list fear that you're not a good mother as one of the possible symptoms of PPD. Others include feelings of worthlessness, shame, guilt or inadequacy, depressed mood, or severe mood swings. crying too much, withdrawing from family and friends, overwhelming tiredness, less interest and pleasure in activities you used to enjoy, intense irritability and anger, and hopelessness. When I look at the list of symptoms, they start just exactly the same as regular depression, and I'm calling it regular depression. I realize that's not what it's called. Those are very familiar to me and to our listeners. The ones that, of course, stand out as being particular to postpartum depression include difficulty bonding with your baby, fear that you're not a good mother, and thoughts of harming yourself or your baby. Any of those real issues for you? Did it affect bonding?
So I think the bonding in the beginning, because I felt, I would say looking back, it was mostly like a fog. So after I gave birth, you know, you're in the hospital for a few days, and there were a lot of friends and family coming in and out and to congratulate. And it didn't hit me right away that I just gave birth. I have this little human, until it was time to go. And they were like, okay, you're released. You can go home now. Congratulations. And I remember crying right at that moment. And it was more like, oh my God, like I'm leaving here with this tiny human.
Yes.
And that's to protect and nurture. You know, it was like, it didn't really set in. It was like everything felt like a fog.
Natasha attributes part of the fog to the fact her son, Osiris, came a month early, making everything seem like it happened really fast.
You know, so I felt like my husband was bonding way more, a lot sooner than I was. I felt like I was just there going through the motions for a moment. And same, like severe tiredness, like getting up and first thing is, okay, what I have to do for my baby. It could be like 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and I just finally remember, okay, I have to shower, I have to eat, so I can be healthy and present for the baby. So it was like everything that I was used to doing, and I was used to being like always on the go and doing a lot of things at once, and it took, okay, now I have to slow down. I had to learn how to slow down and focus on being a mom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just think without depression, it's a difficult thing. Well, you've got hormones, you're not sleeping, you know, you're exhausted, you've never done this before, the stakes are incredibly high. I mean, seriously, under the best of circumstances, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And then you throw depression in.
Yeah.
So what was your support network like? Once you wrote that email to your husband, how did he support you? How did he help?
I'm saying my husband was very understanding, especially because I had just blown up at him, but I could tell he knew that something was amiss. He was a bit confused. But once I explained everything, he became very supportive, you know, very supportive. And that's just the kind of person that he is. My husband and I, we have really strong communication. So I'm able to talk with him about a lot of things. So we'll have moments we could find him when our son was napping, when he'd be home. And I was able to like open up and talk with him. And he would listen, and he was very encouraging about me seeking help, going to counseling. Because I was excited to go get help, but at the same time, I was like, am I sure I want to go get help? But he was very, very encouraging about pushing me to go and seek that help. And after my sessions, I will come home, and there'll be things that I would talk to him about. So he was a great ear and a great shoulder, and
So it sounds like it was just removing that wall that was sort of between you, because you were still thinking, I don't want to say this because I feel weak or I feel ungrateful.
Exactly.
So once that came crumbling down, then he was able to be there for you because you allowed him to be. Is that correct?
Exactly. Because one of the things I remember him telling me is like, you're not alone anymore. You don't have to deal with things by yourself, because I was used to it. It was always me having to figure things out for myself and figure things out for everyone around me. So I was used to that. I had a lot of pride that I had to learn how to let go of. And one of those was, I don't want to go, and I would feel like I'm being like the party pooper, the Debbie Downer, and I didn't want to be that. And I also don't want a pity party. So I was struggling with all of that. But he was like, you're not by yourself anymore. You don't have to deal with this by yourself.
Mm, what a nice thing to hear.
Yeah.
For those of you in a position to offer support to a new parent who's struggling with all the life changes a new child brings, or postpartum depression in particular, and you're wondering what to say that would offer comfort, those two phrases are a great place to start. You are not by yourself anymore. You don't have to deal with this by yourself.
So Terry, I love that phrase, and I hope that new moms and anybody struggling with depression will remember that they're not by themselves. But you know, I do think that when we're going through huge shifts in our lives, huge life changes, that things are sometimes so new and they're so overwhelming that you can easily miss the signs, you know, that you're not just adjusting to that huge change or that shift. You might actually be kind of stuck or even kind of drowning. So I think for everyone going through major life change, it might be into new motherhood. It might be into some other phase in your life. But if you even think you might need some help, that's when you ask for it. I just think it's important. Don't wait. She even said, don't wait until you're struggling if you can help it.
Absolutely. And it can be so hard to throw up that white flag because we feel, like she said, weak or like we should be able to handle this. Mm-hmm. But there really aren't shoulds in this. We're all doing the very best we can. And needing help isn't not being our best. It's just being human.
Yeah, we've still got a ways to go for people to be able to really take that in. But I hope that that's the message. Asking for help, needing for help does not mean that you're failing in some way. It means that you have successfully recognized that that's what you need to be able to do the best that you can.
Yes. So before we close out, we do have some bonus content, a caregiver tip to end this episode.
This episode's caregiver tip from Families for Depression Awareness is help mom build a support network. Having a new baby is a major life change for the family unit. Mom can feel pressure to do it all, but she doesn't have to. If you are mom's partner or spouse, play an active role in taking care of baby's needs. Extended family members can make meals, handle household chores, and take care of older children. Friends who live far away can provide moral support through calls, emails, or video chats. This support network of family and friends can make a big difference if mom is experiencing postpartum depression. Make sure you have your own support too.
We truly hope that our podcast brings a little more understanding, helps you better articulate and reflect on your own experience with depression, or better understand how to support someone else who is struggling.
If this episode has been of comfort or value to you, know that there are hundreds of others like it in our archive, which you can easily find at our website, givingvoicetodepression.com. And remember, if you're struggling, speak up, even if it's hard. If someone else is struggling, take the time to listen.